Hello, it's Dawn, and this is Dawnversations. I'm so happy to have you here. We talk about anything and everything. It's just a potpourri of topics, and that's just the way I like it. If you like surprises and you like variety, this is the show for you. Let's go.
So from the soul's perspective, we come into this incarnation with a certain purpose, with a certain intention to learn and to grow and to evolve and to master certain qualities.
I've had a numerologist on before, but I feel like everybody has a different perspective on numerology, just like they do for astrology and everything. Do you think that's true?
Absolutely. I think that every person, you know, brings their unique taste and also approach or a particular dimension of life. They develop their expertise in. For example, I focus more on spiritual development, while other astrologers or numerologists would focus more on career or psychology or health and so on and so forth.
Right. So yes. He has a podcast. Tom has a podcast called GPS for the Soul, which pulled me right in. I found his podcast and I was like, he has to be on my podcast. I love that name. It's just so accurate because people do want to know why they're here and where they're going and if they're on the right path. So what even got you involved or interested in numerology to begin with?
Well, I mean, I would say I'm on a spiritual path. I'm almost 40 and I'm on a spiritual path since my teens, right? So I've always been kind of intrigued or interested in going deeper or understanding what's lying beyond, right, our five senses. Who am I on a deeper level? And I think that at a certain point in my 20s, I got a numerology reading from who later on became my teacher. And it was so stunning in its ability to reveal who I was. You know, I was literally jaw dropped, and I saw that there's a method. You know, it's not something, you could say that some methods or some, you know, ways of approaching inner knowledge have a good day or a bad day. Okay, let's say I'm a channeler. I don't know if people know what channelers are, but
let's say
I use my intuition to understand a person in front of me. I might have a bad day, and maybe my intuition is a bit off, but numerology is always the same. So it's so stable, it's so solid, and it's so revelatory. And I think for me, you know, just having heard a description of myself that was so spot on, just, you know, it just changed everything.
Right. And it's based on your name at birth, correct?
Correct. Your name at birth and your date of birth.
And so why doesn't that change if you, say, get married?
So if we want to, you know, when we are born from the perspective, so we need to kind of zoom out for a moment and maybe introduce a few terms or perspectives that are, you don't have to believe in any of this, but that's, you know, how numerology approaches life or us as a person, right? We need to look at it from the soul's perspective. So from the soul's perspective, we come into this incarnation with a certain purpose, with a certain intention to learn and to grow and to evolve and to master certain qualities. It's an ongoing journey. And when we are born, we are given a certain blueprint, a certain intention, right? Given by the soul to our human incarnation. And that is symbolized and seen in those letters of our full name and the date of birth. Now, that will always be the original intention. And when we change our name, say when we get married, or if we just, you know, we don't like our name, we go through a process of name changing. It's not that it has no effect, but it will never become, you know, the most central effect in our chart. It will always be the original intention that will guide and inform our life.
Okay, that makes sense. So I know that there's a life path number, and I've heard of a destiny number. How many different number durations are there?
Well, there are many. Really, there are many, many dimensions to the chart. But by and large, we speak about five core calculations or locations with varying degrees of influence. The most influential being the life path, right? The second most influential being the expression number, or what some call the destiny number. And then the third most, and I'll stop there, is what most Western numerologists call the soul urge, or some call it the heart's desire. So these are really like the main building blocks of who we are, our true makeup.
And so if you are having your destiny number, say that that means that you're going to be a plumber. We'll just say that. Can you change it? Can you change your destiny? Or is it rock solid? Does it stay the same?
It's such a beautiful question. And it's such, you know, it's a multifaceted question and also an answer. I would say that it's both. I would say it's both. It's a little bit like, you know, you are given a certain body, right? And that body has particular abilities, a particular size, you know, certain, you know, some bodies are more flexible, others are slimmer, whatever, right. You know what I mean? But what you do with that body has a lot to do with you. So, you know, every number, right? And numbers in our context of numerology represent potentials. They represent energies, right? So I can use my number and become a plumber, okay? But I can also use that same number on an increasingly higher level of awareness, wisdom, understanding. So yes, I will have certain inclinations, maybe more, you know, like in this context, working with my hands, okay, mm-hmm. which can lead somebody to be a plumber, but it can also lead somebody to become, you know, a craftsman, a craftswoman that really do something creative on a bigger scale and leave an impact on many lives. You never know, you know what I mean?
Right. So does your intuition come into play when you do these readings for people? I know that you see the numbers and you see their blueprint and their chart. Do you feel intuition towards or guidance while you're doing their reading?
I love this question. Beautiful questions, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's lovely because I always say that numerology is like a unification of the left and the right hemisphere of the brain, right? So it's like you have to know the methodology, and at the same time, you have to listen to the person in front of you. And in that sense, intuition comes into play 100%. So for example, when I give readings to my clients, and even when I teach numerology, by the way, to my students, it's like I must see them in a video call because I have to look at the person. I have to feel into them. I have to see how what I say, you know, arrives, how they react, their feedback. And that actually helps me understand what's their relationship with these numbers, with these potentials. Are they in full bloom? Are they partially blocked? Some people are even in denial of their core energies. So there's, you know, there's a huge range here. So definitely intuition comes into play.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, if somebody came to you and they were just lost, you know, if they felt like they didn't have a purpose or they have absolutely no idea where their soul is taking them, like, how do you even begin to do their reading?
That's very sweet that you asked that now, just because I'm coming to our conversation just after I've given a lesson and to one of my students, and I just spoke to her about the life path, right? Mm-hmm. And I told her that if a person is very confused, if you meet a client or a friend and they are very confused. They are lost. They're depressed. They're in a time of crisis. It's very, very important to check whether they are aligned with their life path. Okay, whether they are listening to their life path, because the life path number in a way is the it's the channel through which your soul whispers to you what it wants you to do, what it wants you to learn, what it wants you to become. And it's a kind of a contract, we can say, with the universe. So as long as I am or we are listening, abiding by, aligned to our life path number, we are more prone, or it's more probable that we will feel in our place, meaning, you know, we'll find meaning, we'll find purpose in life. And again, I'm not talking about the ups and downs that we all go through life. You know, that's just like unavoidable.
Right. But like,
if you really feel depressed all the time, or you really feel life is meaningless most of the time, it's really worth checking what's going on with my life path. Maybe I'm giving too much attention to other facets or other energies of my life that, you know, are perhaps intriguing or fascinating, but they're not the life path. And that's why I often refer to the life path as the sun, right? We have the solar system and the sun is at the center. Now, I might like Saturn. I like the way it looks and with that ring, and I would love it to be in the center. But there's no way I can do that. If I would do that, the whole structure would collapse. So the sun is always at the center. I have to come back to my life path. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. So explain to me the difference then between the life path number and the destiny number, because those kind of seem like they'd be the same.
Right. That's only because the terms, right, the titles,
right,
they're confusing. I mean, right, we have like life path, you have destiny number, you have soul urge. Like, which one is the strongest?
Right.
So in the method I teach, we don't even use those terms. We assign those core locations to body locations, like actual human body locations, so that we can intuitively remember what they mean. But having said that, so the life path is much more about the deepest lessons that each one of us is meant to learn during this lifetime. It's almost like an intention of the soul to master a certain quality or a range of qualities represented by the number we see in our life path location. But it's also very telling about our deepest emotional temperament and the way we approach and feel life on the deepest level, like our deepest longings, for example. So it's much more like our essence in this incarnation, whereas the destiny number or the expression number, usually that's what it's called, usually, but some call it destiny number. So that would pertain much more to our ability to manifest. Right. Okay. I may have a certain essence. Okay. That's like the who I am or the calling of my soul. But I have to check whether my agent of manifestation, namely my expression number or destiny number, does it work well? Does it work harmoniously with my life path number? Is it able to kind of like extract the essence and manifest it in this world? So it's a huge number with a lot of meaning. It will be very telling or helpful to look at that number in our own chart if we want to know what career suits us well, for example, or to understand how we make decisions when faced by a crossroad, for example.
So what I was sitting here thinking was, you have people that come to you, obviously they're wanting guidance usually. Right. Are there people that come to you that want to just reaffirm that they are on the right path? Like they feel good about where things are going, but they just want to make sure that they're doing what their numbers are saying?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
And it's yes, absolutely. So I think, you know, there are people that come as clients because they lack clarity and they want, you know, somebody to shed some light, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one function of numerology. But very, very often what I come to see is that many people are actually already aligned. Like they're already hearing the call. They're already walking their path. And all they need is that confirmation.
Right.
That sense of, yes, of course, you're okay. Like even I, who don't know you and just look at your numbers, and I confirm to you that what you're doing is okay. That it's right to be who you are, right?
Right. Yeah, just that validation.
That validation is everything, really.
Right. And what was the other, the soul and heart?
The soul urge. The soul
yeah,
urge.
What's that?
So the soul urge, or as some would call it, the heart's desire, has more to do with our aspirations, our dreams, our ideals, like where we, so if our life path number has to do with who we are, right? The deepest kind of essence, and the expression number has to do with how we manifest or what tools we have to manifest this essence. Our soul urge is more like it dreams the particular way it wants all of that to kind of like look like. So okay. It gives it more, you know, when I tell you, for example, Dawn, just close your eyes for a moment and imagine where you want to be 5 years from now, you know, 10 years from now, right? So like the soul urge is that place where we dream our life. We aspire to grow and expand into particular directions. Does that right. make sense?
Yep. So does the birth time come into play with any of this?
So in numerology, we don't use the birth time. Okay. That is more relevant, or very relevant, for astrology.
Yes. And you're starting to dabble in that too now, right?
Yes, absolutely. I'm actually studying it right now very seriously and in depth. And hopefully soon, as many of my listeners also asked me to, I will probably start, you know, integrating both.
Yeah, that would be fascinating.
Yes.
But, exactly. And there's so many different types of astrology too, which is crazy. It's not just this is your sun sign and here's your horoscope. I mean, there's so many variations. It's really mind-blowing.
It's mind-blowing. And to be really honest, I mean, it's a bit overwhelming, but at the same time, it's like diving into this incredible ocean of knowledge, which is, at least to me, it's super exciting. With numerology, unfortunately, we don't have that much, you know, it's not as popular as astrology, not as well known, and we don't have that much historical record of the origins or, you know, why it is the way it is. It simply works. And the interesting thing, these two systems are very, very closely tied. So when you start learning, you know, astrology coming from numerology or vice versa, you start to see like, wow, there are so many connections.
Right. And I've kind of heard that about everything that's spiritual, whether it's working with your chakras or crystals or astrology. I mean, all those components, they seem like they do have one main thing in common. You know, it's just like they all come together. So it's so interesting. But okay, so I had never done like a pre-interview with any of my guests before until you, because you wanted to see me face to face and kind of figure out who I am and whatever. And we just chit-chatted about what the podcast was about and all that. But so then I gave you my information, and I just wanted to give my listeners an idea of what exactly it is that you can figure out through somebody's numbers. And I do not know what you're going to say. And I'm okay with absolutely. That. I'm fine with being exposed. You can go ahead and let it fly, but I'm very curious what you figured out.
That's super sweet and lovely that you're willing to expose yourself this way. really, really lovely. And I also kind of like, you know, I'll just like go freestyle on this. So I have, of course, a few points like written down, but I want to go a bit freestyle to make it more spontaneous and real. As okay. I, by the way, also do sometimes in my podcast, like I would give like some freestyle on the spot numerology analysis to some of my, you know, listeners. So in your chart, you know, what really sticks out And we can, if you want me to, you know, to reveal the numbers I'm talking about, which I usually don't do, by the way, in a reading. I just speak the story of the person to them. I present their story of life, right? So I don't speak numbers.
Mm-hmm. Unless I want both.
Okay, we'll do
please
both.
Please tell
we'll
me both.
So I'll just start by saying a little story, okay? And then I'll maybe expose the numbers behind that story.
Okay.
So first of all, I want to say that in your chart, what's very clear is that you have a lot of leadership qualities. Hmm. You have a capacity. It's very clear that in terms of destiny, okay, in terms of like the direction the charts wants to flow is to leave an impact on a large scale. Hmm. I want to, there's you're actually a very idealistic person. And you are, in a sense, meant to establish something that will be able to raise people's awareness or help people in some way. But when I say establish something, in your particular case, I mean to really establish something that even if you are not around, that thing will still stay there. You know, to support people. So for some people, that may be writing a book, right? Or inventing some kind of method, or maybe even establishing a podcast. Because you have recorded episodes and people can always find it and listen and be inspired. It's there. And it reaches like bigger crowds, right? Worldwide. Nice. So that's really part of your chart. And you have a driven side to you. You're very individualistic, okay? Like, and so it really, you know, sticks out that you're a very individualistic type, very independent in your ways. You have a very open mind. That's mm-hmm. also something that really sticks out. For example, you're open to different cultures and different, very liberal, so to speak, in your mind, like very open. Mm-hmm. Like open to all people of all types and kinds and colors and fragrances and you know, you're very open to hearing and receiving different ways of thinking, being, and that's very beautiful because it's a kind of altruistic nature, I would say. Let's see what else I wanted to say. And here's another point that is very interesting in your chart. You have a combination of something that can touch both the heights, okay, of life. Heights, I mean the heights of consciousness, for example, the heights of spirit, but also be very focused and very grounded.
Yeah.
So these are like two sides, and it's not like that for everybody. For example, my chart tends to be much more on the spiritual end of things, and I need to work much harder, right, to touch the ground. You have both, which is very, very interesting. Or for example, you can appreciate tradition, okay? But you're also very progressive in your ways. So wow. It's a combination of both. The ability to kind of move, you know, and transition between those elements. But it's very your chart, and it's not like that with every chart. And I guess that's why you're doing what you're doing, right? You are really meant to build something meaningful, okay? And that will keep, again, it's important to explain something to your listeners and our listeners
mm-hmm.
that sometimes I would say things to people in a reading that they have not yet realized about themselves, A. B. Not when I speak to a person, I very often describe their original potential. It doesn't necessarily mean that all of that potential is fully bloomed
or realized.
Realized or activated. There are other factors, other we can say mitigating factors in our chart that may also block some of these things. Okay. So mm-hmm. what I'm doing now is I'm looking mainly at your core numbers, but there's all the dimension of the cycles and the pinnacles. It's a huge thing,
wow.
right? And so that may or may not support your core numbers. And that really just adds more dimensions to the story. Some people will take their path and simply instill it in their existing job. The job they're in might not be the ultimate or the ideal, you know, job they would have dreamt for themselves, but they would still instill their kind of their deep spiritual qualities or path into that job. While others, for example, let's say I can say that about myself, like I'm very uncompromising in the way that I take my numbers or my spiritual path and tie it completely into my career, quote unquote. I don't like calling it career for that reason exactly.
Right.
You know what I mean? But there's wiggle room here. It's like, it's not,
I see.
It's not that strict.
Yeah. Cause like podcasting isn't my career. I do it as a hobby and I thoroughly enjoy it. And I wish I could get paid to do it. You know, that would be amazing. Yeah. Maybe.
And maybe you will.
But my job is I help care for the elderly. So I feel like, that, you know, so that they can stay in their homes and they don't have to go to a, you know, an old folks home or whatever you call it. So that's very fulfilling for me. And I love being around them and their energy and hearing their stories and all that stuff. The podcasting thing just came out of the blue on a whim, but it feels very aligned. It feels like this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So that's why I was kind of wondering if the career thing is in the same thing as your soul purpose, or if they're separate, or how that comes into play.
I would say that the most important thing is that we make sure that our deepest longings and our deepest callings as a soul are fulfilled. It doesn't, you know, in the end of the day, whether you have a podcast, you know, through which you are able to channel a lot of these energies, then in some way you're already doing that. You know, calling it a career or earning, you know, the money factor is not what really, you know, is not a deciding factor here.
Right.
As long as you have an avenue of expression for these soul qualities, then it's lived, it's fulfilled. And that's the most important thing. In some, and this is of course a generalization, right? In some instances, I will see people who need to unify these two realms, these two dimensions, and I would try to support them or encourage them to do that. And I'm speaking from experience. But with some people, it's good if they have a solid career because, for example, their chart really shows a person that needs a lot of stability, and for them to kind of like make spirituality into a career would be too unsettling. And so for that kind of personality, I would sometimes recommend finding a hobby again, quote unquote, right? Or something they truly care for, or a way to really express and channel that spiritual energy. I hope that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It's so fascinating. Just all the information that you can get just from the names that somebody has given when they're born. That's just, it's so fascinating. So how can people find you? How can they come and, you know, get your services, find out about themselves?
Well, first of all, I also, just like you, right, I have a podcast, as you've already mentioned, and I think people can learn a lot from this podcast. So it's called Numerology, GPS for the Soul, and I try to give like very, you know, a lot of in-depth numerology education, as I like to call it. Mm-hmm. And people can, of course, get numerology readings, right, to go more deeply and understand themselves. I guess we can maybe leave a link, right, to my website.
Yes, something along those lines. I will for sure. Yes.
So people can have a numerology readings, but of course, you know, my baby, as I like to call it, is really teaching numerology. So I have, you know, two ways or two avenues that people can study numerology with me. One is a self-study course that I created where people can study the fundamentals in a very engaging, interactive, and what I would consider it a pretty complete way, in a self-paced manner. So again, easy to find that on my website. And then for those who really want to, you know, dive deep into this realm of numerology, then I work with people or I teach students from around the world one-on-one. And that, again, you can find on my website. You can read more about that. You can contact me and you know, it's a journey. It's not just learning a method. It's really a journey of transformation and growth.
Right. How long does it take for somebody to get through the learning process?
So there is a process or a trajectory of certification. And here I'm talking only about the in-depth studies, right? Because the self-paced, you do it, you know, whenever and wherever.
Okay.
But the in-depth studies, the certification process or program, I have three courses and it depends. So some students would meet me once a week and then it would take about a year.
Okay.
To finish the certification process. Some would really, really, you know, they're more passionate and fiery and they want to kind of get going with it. And we would meet twice a week. And if I have time, I will allow more space for that. So it really depends on the student. It's important to say that, you know, certification is not the end, right? Even I, you know, being already an expert in neurology, I still meet my teacher from time to time.
Okay.
Just to, you know, refine something, to polish something, or to kind of like dive deeper or research a little bit more. So there's no end really. So there's also post-certification study, so to speak, for those who really want to go deep, deep, deep.
Right. Yeah. No, it's just so interesting. And it definitely makes you want to delve more into it and find out more, because we all want to know that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Exactly. And doing our soul purpose. So Tom, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
I appreciate you having me so much. Thank you so much. Bye.